Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Do you feel 78% wealthier than just before the Celtic Tiger crash? Well, you should, because on average, on paper, you are. That's according to research from the consultants Fordell, who also say that the average household has net wealth of €663,000. Of course, much of that wealth is tied up in housing, and that's why no country in Europe has grown its average wealth as fast as Ireland over the past 11 years. Stephen Fell is chief executive of Fordell and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Joe.
How do you calculate a household wealth?
Household wealth, Joe, is taking all of the assets that belong to individuals and households in Ireland, from housing to personal deposits, stocks, shares, business and pension assets, and taking the liabilities off it.
So you deduct the mortgage outstanding and all that.
Indeed. So yeah. Net wealth of €665,000, as you quoted, is the assets less whatever mortgages and liabilities are there.
Mm-hmm. The vast majority of that, of course, is sitting in your property. People won't feel €663,000 wealth.
Yeah, I suppose to put context on it, Joe, of that €663,000 in wealth, 59% of it is tied up in housing stock. Mm. So the figure is very much skewed and very much illiquid and based around the bricks and mortar that people live in. However, it is a store of wealth and it is something which makes people feel wealthier as their mortgage decreases and the value of their property increases.
And more than half of homes in this country are mortgage free, I believe.
They are indeed. Yeah, I think the figure is probably closer to 56 or 57% at this stage. So,
and most of those people might be over the age of 55?
Demographically, yes. But if we look at borrowing on an overall basis as a percentage of household wealth and net worth, it's declined demonstrably over the last 10 years. So household wealth, which is effectively, the difference between the assets and the liabilities, the liabilities as a percentage of the overall assets are now only 11%. To put context on that, 10 years ago, they were nearly 30%.
So we got such a shock during the financial crisis that we've decided to deleverage and remove as much debt as possible from our books.
Correct.
Okay. Now, we're also sitting on billions in useless cash, i.e. they're sitting in bank accounts earning next to nothing in terms of interest rates, and that money could be used better.
Indeed. The work which underpins the report that we published this week, Joe, which was done by my colleagues Ollie Maloney and Caoimhe Lane, identifies that at the end of 2024, we'd €180 billion sitting in current and short-term deposits amongst Irish consumers, taxpayers and households.
What a waste.
To put context on it, it's about 13% of all household wealth sitting in deposit accounts earning little or no interest.
And that money could, in theory, be used to support startups or scale-ups in this country or just put to better use or even build hospitals and roads.
Well, it could, I suppose, at a diversification point. And our company is a wealth manager and financial advisor. I'm not here to give financial advice. But if you look at housing and deposits as being 57% and 13% respectively of household wealth, more conventional investments, which are meant to be inflation beating, such as stocks, shares and bonds, constitutes only 5.5% in Ireland. So we're way
it's a much higher number in America.
It's at least double that in America.
Yeah.
So we're way underinvested in the more conventional investment types that, to your example, in America might have. To pick up on the point about investing in infrastructure, this is the second time in our state's history that we've become very, very wealthy. This time around, it's not based on leverage. It's on much firmer sands. And to have so much of it tied up in deposit accounts, which are, as we know, are earning little or no interest. The ECB is set to decrease rates further as this year continues.
So you'll earn even less.
So you're earning the present value of your money is going down whatever year that goes by.
So there must be some way of prizing open those wallets or prizing open those bank accounts. The Brits have to use kind of tax-efficient ways of doing that, including their ISAs, stocks and shares ISAs, individual savings accounts, and yet we don't have that yet.
Yeah, it's I think it's a flaw or a a glitch. So we don't have it yet because, to the point, we only have 5.5% invested in stocks and shares. However, if we turn that on its head and say, how do we promote people investing in long-term infrastructure products, long-term inflation-beating assets? It needs to be with state intervention. We're not saying that the state should subsidise or that this necessarily need cost, but to have tax breaks. And to use your UK example, Joe, in the UK, there are what's called ISAs, individual savings accounts. And on an annual basis, a taxpayer can put £20,000 into an ISA. They get tax relief on that. And the gains and the dividends grow on a tax-free basis within that structure. A couple can put £40,000. They can put £9,000 each in for their children. This isn't a cost to the exchequer. It's actually creating a savings pool that is beating inflation and actually should hopefully be less of a burden on the state in the future.
And is there anything that we can do to encourage us to use some of that $130 billion that you're talking about to support Irish startups or scale-ups?
Yeah, I think that's another really interesting point. We have the EIIS scheme, which is a revenue-approved scheme here to encourage people to invest in mid-stage and growth companies. It's cumbersome as a mechanism. It's something that's not conventionally known about or the average
And the average household can't get his head around
it. Can't get their head around it. Mm-hmm. And again, if we look to our nearest neighbours in the UK, they have what they call their venture capital trust scheme, where there's a very, very simple way. One can invest up to £200,000 on an annual basis into companies which have very explicit mandates around growing jobs and around growing the economy in the UK. There's tax breaks to do it, and it's net or negligible in terms of what the cost of the exchequer
and
is.
And if you were Minister of Finance for a day, would you do something similar?
Definitely.
Okay. And thanks very much for coming in and sharing this study with us. I don't necessarily feel as if I have 663,000 on average sitting in the account, but on paper we do. Stephen, thank you. That's Stephen Fell, the Chief Executive of Fordell Consultants.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.